This is Tyler Cahey with Shannon, sitting down on June 27th, continuing our conversation for the Oral History Summer School. Shannon, can you again quickly introduce yourself?
I'm Shannon Keneally. I'm doing the oral history program. Grown up here all my life in Columbia County. It's a great place to grow up.
Great. Before we were interrupted, you were talking about Bruno's.
Yes. Oh, in the name of the building, it was Johnny Ware's Hot Dogs. I knew it would come to me. So yes, he used to sell us hot dogs. But I was talking about Bruno's and how we were doing a late night menu, thinking that we could make a killing, but it was just really exhausting and without enough staff, because we were just starting. And it's the thing about our spaces is that we've only renovated some of it. And the other thing is that Bruno's, it's when you live on top of it or live alongside of it, you can still hear it going on, you know. So it's important for us to have some downtime, which is why we close at 6, because, you know, we're usually there early in the morning setting up and getting ready for our day. So we like to, and I have a son, so who's going to be 13. So it's important for him to have that kind of family time. It's kind of important. Even though he's turning into a teenager and doesn't appreciate it at all. So I think he'd rather just, I keep working, so that way he doesn't know what naughties he's up to. Then I won't know what naughties he's up to. Somebody in the area calls me, which has been known to happen to him quite often. A couple weeks ago, he did something dumb. He was packing up his fishing bag and took an airsoft gun out of the yard, which he's not supposed to have out of the yard because it doesn't have the safety thing on it, you know, the little tag. And the neighbor calls over and he says, I don't know, but does Aiden have a gun? And I was like, you know, he has an airsoft gun. So he had to come home and we had to, like, you know. That's the other thing. Like, when I grew up, if somebody brought, you know, a cap gun, like it was, you know, I was talking about Hudson before, and when I was in high school and after graduating, it was common for a lot of kids in Hudson, a lot of us in our cars, we would get cap guns and pretend to shoot each other, you know, they would race up and down Warren Street like cops and robbers, and like, you know, or we'd like reenact these scenes of like, you know, old movies like Odds Against Tomorrow or something, you know, just different shows. And actually, it was funny because my neighbor called me down to tell me about the airsoft gun, I thought, oh, that's so weird. Like, nobody would have blinked when we were kids, you know, with the cap guns and stuff. It wasn't so, you know, it just wouldn't happen here. You would be like, you know, if somebody were to shoot something, it just wouldn't happen. You know, somebody wouldn't use a gun to do something destructive with, unless they were hunting. But, you know, it's interesting how Hudson has changed in that aspect. You know, it is part of, you know, modern day society, and we all do have the fears here. You know, my son does you know, the lockdown drills at the school, which, you know, for young kids, that's got to be kind of terrifying. You know, our biggest thing was fire drills, and there was a fire drill that was like your way of getting out of class for like that period. So you were like, oh, let's have a fire drill. Yeah. But yeah, now you all have to be accounted for. And God, it would be a panic if, you know, somebody were missing from your classroom. So yeah. But Bruno's is thriving. We're in our 5th year, and hopefully we, you know, go another 5 years, 6 years, just continue to expand and, you know, grow with our community. It seems like all of the buildings, there's only a couple of buildings now left on our block that aren't habitated. You know, there's one that's inhabitable. It needs a lot of work done, but apparently some architects firm owns it, so we'll see if they, you know, do something fabulous with it. But I think all the buildings in Hudson have great structure, great bones that, you know, allow so many people to come in and be able to work with them. And I think, you know, it's funny because people always complain about the, you know, asbestos siding or the aluminum siding that was really big in the 70s and 80s. People would, you know, think it would save on heat, you know, made your place look good. So it's so funny, but, you know, if you think about it, the reason why all these buildings are so well intact is because people put the asbestos siding on, and the clapboard underneath is nicely protected. Same with the vinyl siding, you know. So I think it's, you know, kind of good and bad. It's almost like opening a Cracker Jack box, you know, when you buy one of these buildings, because you're like, I could get something really awful or I could get something really great. So far, it's been great for us. We found a few treasures. When we took down one plaster wall, it was covered with posters from the 1900s, like 1910. It was like all these hardware posters, which was fun. We rolled them up and put them in a container to seal them, keep them protected. But yeah, it's an interesting project. We'll see how far we get to go with it. Because, you know, it's expensive. Renovation is expensive. So. We're pretty innovative, my sister and I, so I suspect we'll, you know, be able to continue on, forge forward. So, yeah. Is there anything else you want to know about Bruno's? We use local farms. We use one farm that's a HomeQuest farm, which I went to school with Tom Holmes at St. Pat's. I did a year at St. Patrick's High School. And we met there. And then I left. I went to Hawthorne Valley, and he left and went to Hudson High. But it's interesting to see that he stayed. He's a person that stayed and running his family's farm. His farm, you know, his farm, family farm is still running, and he and his wife Terry are really, I love working with them. I love going to see them. It's really sad in the winter when they, you know, in the fall when things get really slow and we run out and just get the last few tidbits that we can. But in the spring, like this year, we got over there a couple weeks ago for strawberries, and we were all so happy to see each other. It was like, you know, like old home week. We haven't seen each other all week, all winter. So we were like, oh my God, we made it. And this particular winter was like, you know, it was so mild. It was almost like, you know, fall into spring. There was really no winter here. Didn't really get those terribly cold days where they were just unbearable. So yeah, it's fun. We also work with a lot of other farms. We have a friend of ours is working on a farm, and she leaves her dog at our house Thursday and Friday, and so rather than paying us, she just brings us farm produce, and we either eat it or we just put it in the market or put it into the menu somehow. So it all kind of works out. It's all kind of fun. We also work with, we have, like, when we started out, we only had one egg purveyor, and she would bring us, like, 5 dozen eggs a week. Now we have 3 egg purveyors, and we can go through, like, it seems like, you know, 20 dozen eggs in a week now, sometimes more, depending on, you know, how busy it is in town. We work with local farms. We also just started working with another farm, a young couple called Bells and Evans Farm. We bought a pig from them. We also just bought a side of beef, which the side of beef actually came from my cousin's farm, who friends of ours bought. We didn't realize that it was actually our cousin's steer that they had bought, young calf. Raised it for 18 months, and so he's in our freezer, half of him, and which is kind of funny because we're like, oh, it's our cow. Every time we sell it, we're like, oh yeah, you should try our beef. actually, the couple that we bought the building from, they grew up, they live down from where our farm was, our family farm, and every year we've raised a sheep and a pig with them. So every fall we have a lamb and we have a pig that we have done. So we've been, you know, selling our own meat and product for a while, I guess. We've been doing it for 5 years, so. But now we're, you know, this year we had our pig done in September and it was pretty much gone by November. There was nothing left, so we had to, like, kind of quickly find something else to supplement that pig with, which we landed with Bells and Evans, and so we've got the pig from them, and we're due to get another one. And it's funny, because, you know, people get excited about it, too. They're like, oh, I had these pork chops cut. I was just kind of wanted to see what would happen if I got pork chops cut at 2 inches, so I had these pork chops cut at 2 inches, and people got really excited about them. My dad, like, stands them up like a rib roast, and he cooks them that way. He's always, you know, got any more of those pork chops? I'm like, no, we're out. So we have a lot of people that just come just to buy. We also now sell chicken, whole chickens that we're selling that we're getting cryovacked from New York State Farms. Some chicken breast cryovacked, and so another, her family moved up here from Long Island, but her family's been here forever too, which is Town and Country, Fran, and she does, you know, if I find something, and she's like, all right, I'll do it, and she'll cryovac it for me, so she cryovacs hamburger for me, and, you know, I probably, as time goes on, we get busier and busier, and we sell out of more and more, so I always have to reorder. Like, at one point in time, it was the meat, I'd get 5 pounds a week. Now I have to order, like, you know, anywhere between 10 and 15. Plus we have, you know, stuff in our freezer. We also have meat in our freezer. So it's fun to see how it's picked up in the market area as well as, you know, the kitchen area. Before, it was just all kitchen. Going out when we first opened, people were just coming in for what we had on the menu, but now they're coming in and they'll shop, and, you know, people always tell us we have the best prices. I didn't know you could get eggs for $5, farm eggs for $5. I've been paying 10 up here, and, you know, so it's kind of fun. We're like the little diamond in the rough down there, the 200 block, my sister and I. But since we've opened, and even when we were buying the building, it was always, our motto has always been slow and steady. Like, if it's, you know, can't force anything. So if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, we'll figure it out. And so, at this point, though, it almost feels like this giant machine, and you're like, I can't let go now, because that would be really bad. Be a terrible fatality. But, you know, I'm sure we could slow it down to a slow crawl, climb out if we wanted to. But we're having fun with it, so I don't foresee myself doing something else in the near future, other than playing music, getting ready for my retirement career, busking on the street. But that, you know, that's the artsy side of me. That's not the, you know, I have to have the real reality side of me. The business person has to, like, you know, make the money so I can do the artsy thing later on. Yeah.
Speaking of artsy things, I know you have a music lesson to go to soon.
I do.
It's about 5:37.
Yes, I do have a music lesson to go to soon.
Okay. But I wanted to thank you for sitting down and for allowing us to record your story.
Yeah.
I know I learned a lot, and I trust that people who hear this in the near future and further into the future will also learn. Quite a bit. Thank you very much for participating.
I actually avoided it for 3 years. I'm so glad I did it. Super jazzy.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you.